We'll turn to the passage in 1 Corinthians 11. Just want to refer to one short phrase out of the familiar portion that has to do with the Lord's table. Of course, the Lord commanded us in order that we would remember. In order that we would remember. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, we're told that this do in remembrance of me. In verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 11, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." This cup, the New Testament in my blood. The New Testament in my blood. The word testament is the same word as covenant. Same word. Translated sometimes covenant, sometimes testament. Of course, our Bible is divided into two covenants. The Old Covenant or the Old Testament and the New Covenant, the New Testament. And we know about the covenant of works that was made with Adam, that if he didn't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, if he kept the commandments, then he would keep on living. Of course, he broke that covenant of works and we are under that covenant, and of course sin came into the world, death by sin. The covenant of works, we call it. There are prophecies. There's the covenant, of course, Israel, and we talk about the ordinances of the old covenant, the Levitical priesthood, the sacrifices, and so on. But Jeremiah and Ezekiel told, there's a day coming when there'll be a new covenant. Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more against you. I'll put a new heart within you, and so on. I'll write the law upon their hearts. The book of Hebrews chapter 8 and 9 is all about the new covenant. We have a better covenant. Christ is a better high priest. He's a great high priest. He's entered in not to the earthly tabernacle, holy of holies, but he's entered into heaven itself for us. And so there's all that. He shed the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 13. A covenant, a legal binding agreement. God the Father with God the Son made that covenant in eternity. That God the Son would come and fulfill all the duties required of a mediator, of a representative, take his people's debts, pay for those sins, provide perfect righteousness. That's what the gospel is. That's why he kept that sinless life and then died for us. The blood of, it says here, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Isn't it wonderful to think that today around the world, believers in many places are meeting around the table of the Lord? Different colours, different classes, different countries. And they're remembering the blood of the covenant, the New Testament. It's interesting, I think of 1 Peter talks about the blood of sprinkling. There are three times, especially in the Old Testament, when it speaks of the sprinkling of the blood. It speaks about it in the leper, Leviticus 13 and 14, when a leper, which is of course a picture of sin, when the priest examined him and the leprosy had gone, he would take a bird, two birds actually. Bird, the blood would be shed, that sprinkled blood and water upon the living bird, and it would fly up into heaven, spreading the sprinkling of the blood as it went. The leper was sprinkled with blood. And that signified, of course, from sin. Signified cleansing. And then you had at the Exodus 24, when the people of Israel gathered at Sinai after the giving of the Ten Commandments, Moses sacrificed, read the covenant. They entered into a covenant and to keep the commandments of God. And then he took the sacrifice. He says he sprinkled the people. Sprinkled the whole congregation. Sprinkled the blood. And he sprinkled it upon the book. And of course upon the altar. What was that doing? That was making the people one with the book. Making them communion. Communion. Because you know what they did then? The 70 elders went up into the mountain, the holy mountain, and there they ate and drank before God. Communion. The third time in the Old Testament where you have sprinkling is upon the priest. When a man was consecrated to the service of the priesthood, they put the blood, they offered the sacrifice for his sins in a picture, and then they put the blood upon his right thumb, his right big toe, and his right ear. What does that mean? He belonged to the Lord. He belonged to the Lord. And so when we, in a few moments, we take the bread that reminds us of his body broken for us, we take the cup that reminds us of the blood of the New Testament, we are remembering that through what Christ did on Calvary, there's cleansing. There's cleansing in the precious blood from the leprosy of sin. But then we remember that through the death of Christ and the shedding of his blood, we have communion. We call it the communion. We have fellowship with him. Here around the table, we fellowship. And then as we go out into our different spheres of labor and work and life, we remember that Jesus Christ was raised. He's still with us to commune with us. We can have communion through the blood. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship or communion one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on, means cleansing us from all sin. And it also means we can be consecrated or set apart to be his. And there's that aspect of the communion service. As we take the bread and wine, we're saying, Lord, Savior, we are thine. We belong to thee. We are testifying. As we take this, we are declaring, like Paul, my gospel. We are declaring that Christ is my Savior. And we are declaring, as we take the bread and wine in our hands and partake of them, we are declaring this morning that we're cleansed by the blood. We have communion with God and with his Son, and that we're consecrated. We rededicate ourselves. Every communion service is a time of reconsecration to say, Lord, we're thine. We're thine. Work in our life. And we're giving evidence. We're giving a testimony to the gospel. It's a symbolic illustration of the gospel to take the bread and to take the wine. They're only symbols, we know that. But yet by the taking of the bread and by the taking of the cup, we are giving an illustration that we have received Jesus, who was raised from the dead, as our Savior. And this wonderful good news of the gospel, that he was died, buried, rose again, he did it for me. He did it for me. We'll ask some brother to return thanks for the bread that reminds us of his body given for us.